to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral, and we have another fantastic guest with us, and this is Keith Major, and Keith is an evangelist, a former pastor. He is someone who loves the Lord in such a powerful way. The name of the show is Returning Home, and we'll get into what that means and what that really means to you. Keith, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
It's so awesome to have you. You have one amazing background. Tell us about where you grew up and your faith journey, because it's something that is really fascinating.
Okay. I was born in Baton Rouge, and I was a Catholic, baptized when I was 9 days old. And my family was a part of... when I was around 7 years old, they were a part of a charismatic community at our parish. And it was so life-giving, so dynamic. My mom grew up Baptist, but she never really went to Mass other than that charismatic Mass. When I was 8, they relocated the priest, and the new priest that came in kind of just shut the whole charismatic part of the charismatic Mass down. So my parents were looking for, they were looking for community. So they looked for 6 months at other parishes and couldn't find anything that was similar to what they had experienced. And then they started going to a Baptist church. And that's when I started to attend, you know, like children's church. And, you know, they're teaching us the Bible and memorizing the Bible. And it would be the girls against the guys, and we'd have competitions. And, you know, I'm young. I mean, I really didn't see the difference in things. But left the Catholic church when I was 8 with my family and stayed with the evangelical church for over 32 years.
So started a Catholic and a Catholic now in terms of returning home, which we'll get into here. But during that period of time, you became a worldwide missionary. And tell us about that.
Well, the church that I attended, it grew from 2,000 to 8,000 the time that I was in middle school and high school. I had several dynamic youth ministers that really sowed into my life. When I was 13 years old, I went on my first missions trip. So I went to Mexico, and my youth minister was Ted Haggart, and he saw this desire that I had, and he says, "Keith, I'm gonna put you in a newsletter called Voice of the Martyrs by Richard Wurmbrandt at the time." And I started getting monthly newsletters that were focused on Christ to the communist world. So as a 13-year-old, I would pray several times a week that God would send Bibles, that God would send missionaries, and that God would help those that are persecuted for his name's sake in the Iron Curtain and the Soviet Union. So I prayed that consistently. And the youth groups that I went to, I mean, one of them had 500 youth. Another had 1,300 youth. That was a part of Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. That youth group was called Crossfire. So I was just kind of cross-pollinating between two large churches in my town. One was an Assembly of God church. One was a Baptist church turned non-denominational. And one of the days when I was in my later teens, the youth minister took us out. We would have two-hour prayer meetings on Friday nights. So after a two-hour prayer meeting on a Friday night, what do you do? Okay, you go bowling or go see a movie. But something, there was an itch in us. After a two-hour prayer meeting, what do we do? And he says, let's just go street evangelizing.
Hallelujah.
So about 150 of us would, we all were like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and just like, let's do it. But I was an all-state linebacker in high school and was a cheerleader as well. And you would think I would not be afraid to talk to people. But that's one thing, even as an 18-year-old, as I never really shared my faith with anyone because I thought I would say the wrong thing. I would run into someone and I wouldn't know how to answer the question. So he really took me underneath his arm one of those times and just kind of coached me along and just kind of gave me a nudge. And I went out and shared for the first time. And I tell you, I was so nervous. I walked up to this couple, and I was like really almost hyperventilating because I was so scared as I approached him, like, what am I going to say? And they looked at me, and he told me, just, Keith, be yourself and be transparent. So I walked up to him, and I said, I'm a Christian, and I've never shared my faith with anyone, and this is so scary on me. Could you just give me, like, 2 or 3 minutes of your time? And they just looked at me, and they're like, sure, go ahead, you know? And I don't know what it was. It was Holy Spirit, but, like, five minutes later, you know, she's crying, and the guy's crying. They're like, we want what you have.
Wow.
So I prayed with them and ran to my youth minister. I'm like, they said the prayer. They said the prayer. He said, did you get their names? Did you get their telephone right. numbers? I'm like, was I supposed to?
Praise the Lord.
So anyway, that was just something that got in my DNA. And I just, after that, I was just looking forward to many opportunities of sharing the gospel with people. And then when I was 21 years old, several of my friends said, let's just do something really radical for 1991. Let's begin the year by fasting. Let's go on a 21-day fast. I'm like, okay, I've never gone on a 2-day fast in my life. And so we fasted. We just didn't eat for 21 days.
Didn't eat at all.
Didn't eat any food at all. We did this in college, so we were college students.
Okay.
It didn't affect our grades.
Yeah.
And yeah, at the end of the fast, I asked the Lord, I'm like, I'm doing this because I want to do what you want me to do, Lord, not what I think I need to do. So here's your moment. Here's your chance to tell me why you created me. And he spoke as clear as day to me. He said, move to Russia.
Wow.
So this was when I was 21 years old, and I thought, wow, something that I prayed for all of my teenage years. Send Bible, send missionaries, help those that are persecuted in the Iron Curtain. Am I going to be the very answer to this prayer that I prayed all my teenage years? And so my church was actually wanting to smuggle in 100,000 Bibles in 1991. And so I was a group of 8 other Cajuns that were all in their 20s. And we did that, and we moved to Moscow. So that's how I got into Moscow. And we planted a church right after the Soviet Union collapsed, and just got addicted and just said, okay, I'm signing up for life for this. I love this.
Praise the Lord. We're with Keith Major here on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're talking about the call that we get, evangelization. And Keith got a call to go to worldwide ministry and evangelization, to be a worldwide missionary in Russia, because his desire was to serve the Lord and to really take care of those overseas and those in Russia. And take a look and open up your Bibles to Psalm 37:4. It says, find delight in the Lord, who will give you your heart's desire. And your heart's desire was to serve the Lord and to serve these people. And he opened the door for you to go there. That had to be an amazing experience. Tell us more about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, something growing up in the 80s, I mean, always the Iron Curtain was the enemy. So, I mean, growing up watching Rambo movies and Rocky movies, it was us against the Russians. And the Lord put this incredible love in my heart for the Russians. And so the same time that I was praying that God would do something in Russia, there was a Polish Catholic girl that was praying the same way. When I realized how much help that we needed to pastor this church, we had like 2,000 people within the beginning months. And I said, Lord, we need people on our team that are like fluent in Russian, who understand the Slavic culture, to help us minister to the women, because many of them were abused. And my wife was a part of a charismatic fellowship that she started in Poland that had about 500 members in it. And she started it in her early 20s. She was one of the co-founders. And after several years, she says, hey, I want to like go to Russia for a year or two. And so that fellowship sent her and supported her as a lay missionary, lay Catholic missionary. And she first went and did a Youth with a Mission discipleship school. Have you ever heard of Youth with a Mission?
No.
Okay, so Youth with a Mission is probably the largest young adult missions agency in the world. They have 30,000 missionaries, and they also go by YWAM or YWAMers. And so she was a part of YWAM, and her school that was first held in Poland, half of the students were evangelical, half of the students were Polish. I mean, half of the students were Catholic, so half Catholic, half evangelical. They did 3 months of training, And then their outreach was to Russia. And so when they were doing outreach, her team kind of bumped into me doing some street evangelization, and we exchanged numbers. And then later, some of them came back to be a part of our church, and she was one of them.
And the rest is history. That turned out to be your wife, correct?
Turned out to be my wife.
Hallelujah.
Very, very grateful for that, that encounter. Yeah.
We're going to be right back to talk more with Keith Major about his role as an evangelist and returning back to the Catholic Church and why he did it. We'll be right back. We're on Empowered by the Spirit.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit here at beautiful Christ Cathedral with Keith Major, who has an amazing story of being born a Catholic, leaving the Catholic Church, becoming a missionary evangelist in Russia, and then doing that for a number of years, I guess from 1991 to 2003. Is that correct?
I was 4 years in Russia, 4 years in Poland, and then 3 years in Saudi Arabia and Qatar.
Amazing. And you were building churches no matter in all these areas?
I was church. We were called church planters. That's how a lot of evangelicals would call it. If you're just going into a place and starting something from scratch, which we thought is the best way to do evangelization, because you go in and you evangelize. And as people are coming to the Lord, you pastor them in your living room, and then as it grows, you get a little storefront, and as that grows, you purchase a building, and so you're just building something from scratch. It's not handed down to you by your father or just a denomination. So we did 3 church plants, but then when we moved to Saudi Arabia and Qatar.
I was going to say, that's a little bit more challenging, right?
Yeah, church planting is not really much allowed there, but I guess for me, they had no problem with prayer.
Okay.
And so it was really at that time, you know, someone even told me, like, hey, you need to check out the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, because the way that you and your wife do, like, prayer ministry, it's very similar to them. And I heard about this when I was living in the Persian Gulf of this place in Kansas City. So it was time to finally do a sabbatical. It was right whenever America started bombing Iraq the second time. We had round-trip tickets open-ended for 1 year to just fly anywhere we wanted. So I'm like, well, it's been quite some time I've been in the States. So we had these 1 year open-ended tickets, and we flew back to America, and me and my wife and my 3 kids, all of them were born overseas. We visited 16 states, put 16,000 miles on a vehicle in 3 months. But the one place that kind of stood out the most for us was the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. What intrigued me is, can Christian young adults pray 4 hours a day and live in this community with like 3,000 others? It was just like, I've never seen anything like it in evangelical circles. So I went to a conference and was talking to some young adults. And so basically, the International House of Prayer, the way I describe it, it's an evangelical young adult monastic movement. And so you have to pray 4 hours a day on staff, and then you work and serve the missions base 4 hours a day. So it's the Benedictine rule, ora et labora. They started this in 1999 in a prayer room, and this prayer hasn't stopped since 1999, and they do it with live worship too. So there's 25 worship teams, and every 2 hours they transition in and out. I've never seen anyone do Lectio Divina. better than these evangelicals in that room, because they would do a two-hour worship set, I mean intercession set, where they're praying like, we're going to pray for human traffic victims in Thailand. And they just stormed the heavens praying for these victims. And then after 2 hours, they would transition and they go, okay, now we're going to sing the Bible for 2 hours. And we're going to pick this verse we're going to sing. So they do 12 hours of intercession a day and then 12 hours of singing the Bible a day. And I've never seen anything like it. So I told my wife, I said, I know you become who you hang out with. I want to be a part of this community for a year, get it in my DNA, and then go take it out elsewhere. Well, the Lord had us there a little longer than a year. We ended up staying there for 6.5 years.
Wow.
During my time there, I've always kind of also looked at myself as an intercessor. And I'm like, God, why did you wire me like this? I'm an intercessor or an extrovert. I would love to have what the contemplatives have. And I thought maybe contemplatives are just for introverts. So I asked Mike Bickle and some of the leaders at the International House of Prayer, how can I grow more in contemplative prayer? And they said, well, read the experts on the topic. And I'm like, well, who's the experts? And like Teresa of Avila, which today's her feast day, and John of the Cross, Bernard of Clairvaux, Francis of Sales, Teresa of Lisieux, Catherine of Siena. I'm like, these are Catholics. You want me to read Catholics? They're like, there's no one else that have mastered contemplative prayer than the mystics. And I'm like, mystic, wait, time out. That's New Age stuff. And they're like, no, just read it and let the Lord just deal with you. And of course, as I read it, I was wanting more and more what they had.
And maybe for our audience, if you could describe what is it that they have and the richness of our faith and the doctors of the church, and what is it that brought you back to the Catholic Church? Obviously, you got an awful lot with the things you were doing, evangelization, you know, prayer, charismatic ministry, you know, all kinds of things in terms of spreading the word of God. But there was something within your heart and soul that was missing that you were getting as a result of this journey you were on.
We're all called to be saints. I mean, yeah. We're all called to be mystics. Man, no matter how much I pray, like, oh, Lord, help me to love you. Because it takes God to love God. And I found that, yes, I told you a few of my little stories of my earlier days. So I thought when I was 21 years old and I moved to the Soviet Union, I mean, I was radical. I was on fire for the Lord. I thought, wow, if I'm this on fire when I'm 21, how much more so will I be in my 30s? And then much, much more so in my 40s. But I've found over time the opposite to be true. I find the older I get, the harder it becomes. Because Jesus wrapped up his Sermon on the Mount message in Matthew chapter 7. And he says, those of you who hear these words of mine and you do them, doing the Sermon on the Mount, pursuing the Sermon on the Mount, you're like a wise man building your house on the rock. And when the storms come and beat on the house will stand. And those of you who hear these words of mine and you don't do them, you're like a foolish man building your house on sand. And when the storms come and beat on the house will fall. There's many storms that hit us in our lifetimes. I mean, other than tornadoes and hurricanes, but just storms of just life, you know, losing a job or a sickness or a spouse leaving or an accident. And it weathers on the human heart. And I think the more that the heart is exposed to storms, the tendency is the heart grows colder, smaller, and harder. And that was me as well. And it took me being at this place at the International House of Prayer. I'm praying in a prayer room, and I just thought, the Lord is a river, and I'm just backstroking in the river of God. And he just gently told me, Keith, I am not a river, and you're not swimming in me. I'm an ocean, and so far in your life, you're only big toe deep. That was so bittersweet to hear that in the prayer room. Like, hold on. How can I be only big toe deep? And I started telling the Lord, hey, I thought I'm married to you. How could a married person be big toe deep in you? And he says, we're not married. We're not even engaged yet. I'm like, I was confused. I'm like, okay, Lord, look what I've done, you know. And And I'm like, remember those moments when you did this? And I'm kind of sharing like some of the intimate, retelling him the intimate moments that I've had with him. And he says, Keith, that was just me wooing you to come deeper into the vast ocean that I am. And I cried that night, and my wife was wondering where I was at. It was like 2 a.m. when this revelation hit me. She's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm in the prayer room. Can't you hear the music in the background? She says, what? You're crying. What's up? And I'm like, the Lord revealed something to me. And she says, come home and tell me. And I'm like, okay. So I got in the car and I went home. She says, what the Lord told you? I'm like, the Lord told me that I don't even know him. And she's like, oh, it's about time you realize this. And this happened in my 30s. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, I don't even know God. And I want to, and I said, God, I am not going to leave this place, this house of prayer, until I go deeper in you.
My brothers and sisters, we are with Keith Major, and he's talking about his journey of really getting intimacy with the Lord and really being one with him. And it isn't just actions. Actions certainly are important, but it's what is in our heart, and it's our heart uniting with his heart. Together. And when the hearts are united as one, then God will pour out his love upon us as he does all the time, but our heart will be open to receive that love. And I think, at least in my experience, that's what has been so transforming. It's the fact that we have to be intimate with him by being quiet, allowing him to come into our heart, allowing him to transform us. And so, you know, we don't know each other very well, but everything I sense of you is that you're an action person. You have been in the past anyway. You've gotten a lot of things done. You've gone out. And my brothers and sisters, maybe that's who you are right now. Maybe you consider yourself a type A personality in which you go out and you do all these things. But as so many people tell me, well, God never speaks to you. But I will give you the quote that I heard Joan of Arc say to the Queen of France, and whether she said it or not, I don't know, but it applies. The Queen of France said to Joan of Arc, how is it a peasant girl is hearing God, and I, the Queen of France, never hear God speak to me? And Joan of Arc answered, Your Highness, God is speaking to you all the time. You're not listening. And it's that listening, my brothers and sisters, that is so important. We're going to be right back and talk more about this journey that Keith Major has been on as an evangelist, now returning back to the Catholic Church to make a difference, because he discovered that the mystics, the doctors of the church, had a solution, had an answer that he didn't have, even though he was doing a lot of wonderful things for the Lord. So we'll hear more about that, and maybe where you are right now, you're asking yourself, how can I get deeper in being one with the Lord? We're on Empowered by the Spirit here at Beautiful Christ Cathedral. We'll be right back.
Your chance to support Catholic education and the future of our Catholic faith. Subscribe to the OC Catholic newspaper today, and we'll make a financial contribution to the Catholic school of your choice. Simply visit OCCatholic.com/subscribe and select the school within the Diocese of Orange that you'd like to support, and we'll make a gift in your name. You also get the award-winning OC Catholic newspaper at your door with the OC Register newspaper every Sunday for 1 year. This is win-win all around. Go to OCCatholic.com/subscribe.
Hello, everyone. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Keith Major, who is an evangelist and has had one incredible journey. He started as a Catholic, left the church at a young age, went overseas and spent many years evangelizing in a number of different countries, came back and was part of the International House of Prayer, in which he discovered the doctors, the church, the mystics, and he's telling us about that experience of how God came to him and told him that you may think you know me, but you're just starting to know me. And so tell us more.
Yeah, I think that even with that story, I know earlier before we even started the program about being born again, I think my conversion is just an ongoing book.
Sure.
That there's many chapters of conversion for me. So when I was reading St. Teresa of Avila, she entered the convent when she was young. And so I guess in her 20s and 30s, she didn't have the greatest spiritual director or advisor. And when she was 40, she had this new priest confessor, and he just called her out on like venial sins. And then her life just kind of took off then when she was 40. And look at much what she accomplished after she was 40 years old. I guess reading her, something that intrigued me is, as I was saying, the heart is prone to get smaller and colder and harder over time. I'm like, Lord, I need you to jumpstart my heart, to let it be on fire again. And I guess for me, it was, I was pursuing the Sermon on the Mount, and I was praying, Lord, give me the grace to live out the Sermon on the Mount, which is, you know, the Beatitudes, and it's loaded, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's Christianity 101.
Amen.
But you need grace to live out even Christianity 101, because that was Jesus's main, documented sermon. Like, this is how I want you to live. And we need grace to do that. So my definition of grace when I was an evangelical pastor was the ability to live out the Sermon on the Mount was grace for me.
Amen.
But then, you know, I'm reading Teresa of Avila, and she was saying that when she received the sacrament, she received infusions of grace. And I'm like, infusions of grace? I'm like, oh, Lord, I could really take an infusion. Like, let me roll up my sleeve and, you know, just it shoot it straight into my veins. You know, I'd like that. But that would mean I would need to become a Catholic to receive the sacraments. And I'm not doing that, because I'd have to lose my ordination, and I'd upset friends, and supporters would leave me. So I am going to pursue what these Catholic mystics had, but do it as an evangelical. And the Lord just kind of backed me up into a corner over a period of months after I said that. And he's like, let's just see how Keith Major is without my grace on him. And the fall of 2009, I was scared to death that if I were to die, I would probably go straight to hell. I drove slower. I was more cautious. Because I was in this dilemma. I'm like, I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know there's more, but, you know, I'm reading these Catholics. I'm a little mad that no one told me about them sooner. I'm mad that the Catholics didn't maybe tell my dad about this sooner. And so it was just a mixed thing. And I was going back to school and was learning systematic theology. So a lot of things were going through my filter. You know, I just eventually just pulled the trigger. I'm like, how can I be so, presumptuous to think that I could have what these Catholic mystics and saints had without believing what they believed that got them there?
We're with Keith Major here on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're talking about his journey as a Catholic in the beginning, as a young Catholic, very child, and then leaving the church, becoming a worldwide evangelist, pastor, outside the church, and then discovering these mystics, these doctors of the church, and the truth of what they had to say that led him to come back as a Catholic.
So actually, it was New Year's Eve, 2009. I was pondering and struggling with some things, and my wife was on the same journey that I was on. I mean, my wife technically, really never left the Catholic Church. She's just stopped going to Mass and confession. Mm-hmm. I mean, she married the evangelical minister. So she used a lot of Socratic method on me. She was like, hey, read some of this. So I was reading some of Peter Kreft. I was reading some of Chesterton. I was reading these Catholic mystics. And so she was really mixing it all up. And I said, Lord, my biggest fear that kept me from pulling the trigger sooner was, what am I going to do? When I was on that 21-day fast and the Lord said, move to Russia, and I signed up for life, this was my life. Put 20-something years into it. What will I do as a lay Catholic? That was my biggest fear. Will I be allowed to minister? What do lay Catholics do? I don't know. I mean, I had no grid because I had zero interaction with Catholics other than reading Catholic books. I read Catholic books, but no physical one-on-one with Catholics. And I said, Lord, what am I going to minister, or am I going to be a car salesman or just be a salesman? I don't know. And he just kind of gently told me, you'll have more opportunity to minister as a lay Catholic than you did as an evangelical minister.
Praise the Lord.
And I said, I can't picture that grid, but I know your voice. I trust you. I trust you, Lord. Okay. I pulled the trigger. I turned to my wife. It's like 5 minutes before midnight, New Year's Eve, you know. And I said, Ivona, I'm done. She says, what are you done with? I'm like, I'm done protesting. We're going to go back to the Catholic Church in 2010. And she said, give me high five. So we gave each other high five.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And then the journey kind of began, because you would think it would be easy, but I went to six different parishes to try to get into their RCA program. None of them would take me.
And where were you located?
Kansas City, Missouri.
And you went to RCIA programs and they said, well, you were baptized a Catholic.
Yeah, but they didn't even bring that up.
They didn't even ask about that.
No, they're just, I'm like, hey, this is what I did. I'm from that place down the street. I'm just eager to get into the church. I need the sacraments, you know, and I won't even discuss on radio some of the conversations that I had with them. But yeah, they're like, you know what? I don't think you'll be a good fit for this program, but maybe come back in September. And I'm like, well, it's January. I'm going to have to wait like a year and a half before I receive the sacraments. I need it now. I need an infusion. And lo and behold, the seventh parish I stumbled across was one that I was like least wanted to go to. It was the one mile from my house. And it was just the way the church looked. I guess it was built in the 60s or 70s. And, you know, I popped my head in there and it was just mainly a lot of older people there. I'm like, I don't want to bring my kids into this. I want something more dynamic. So anyway, I pulled into the parking lot and I went inside looking for someone to speak to, and I saw two guys wearing a collar. I thought they were priests, but they were actually deacons wearing black shirts with collars.
Uh-oh,
I said, hey, I have a question for you. And they're like, well, sure, get something to eat and sit down and let's talk. So I told them my story, and they're like, wait, you said that you were baptized Catholic. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're like, you don't even need the RCA.
Exactly.
You just need private instruction and we'll bring you in. And so they did that. So they gave me private instruction for like 2 months and prepared me for my first confession. And I had like 3 pages worth of notes to go into my first confession. I had a 2-hour appointment. And this priest, he said, you're really not going to take 2 hours, are you? I said, don't you dare rob me of my first confession.
Yeah, amen.
I have you for 2 hours. And so it took about an hour and a half. And, I cried and he cried and he's like, yeah, that was one good confession. And I went home wondering, how am I supposed to feel? This was like the first sacrament I received after baptism was, you know, reconciliation. And I was pondering, but I'm like, am I supposed to feel something? And so I went home and my wife says, so how was it? I'm like, man, I left no stone unturned. I mean, I told him everything I told him. She says, how do you feel? I'm like, I know what I feel. Closure for the first time in my life.
Hallelujah.
And she said, you tell that priest I'm next. And so the next day she went in and she says, I'm going to follow right behind you when you have your first communion. So she went in and had her confession, and it was 16 years. And
my brothers and sisters, the Lord just revealed to me that there's a number of our listeners on these radio networks here who have left the church, who have dialed in, and maybe by mistake, but not by mistake, because the Holy Spirit had you dial in. And you're asking yourself, can I return to the church? Is it too late? And the answer is no. The church is waiting for you with open arms, but Jesus is waiting for you with open arms. Jesus is saying, come to me, come to me, come follow me. Receive my love, receive my body, my blood, my forgiveness through reconciliation, my sacraments. My brothers and sisters, you are listening to this show for a reason. Keith Major, his whole experience happened for a reason. For himself, but also for you, for this moment in time, for this radio show. And yes, I'm talking to you. You know exactly who you are. So for those people, what would you tell them, Keith? What should they do?
The Lord is so in love with all of us, no matter where you're at, whether you left the church or you're in an evangelical church, he's just better than a heat-seeking missile because he's thirsty for you.
And Mother Teresa said, had that revelation of Jesus and saw Jesus who said, I thirst, what he said on the cross. We're going to take a break and come back. We're empowered by the Spirit, but we're going to pick up where we left off. Because there are those of you, again, that either have left the church permanently, or maybe you just don't go to church anymore, go to Mass anymore, It is time for you to say yes to Jesus, to return with all your heart, soul, might, and strength to Jesus, to the Catholic Church that's waiting for you with open arms. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Deacon Steve Greco here, and I'm powered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral with Keith Major, who has an amazing story of beginning as a Catholic, becoming an international evangelist, pastor, coming back to the church as a result of his study of the mystics and doctors of the church, and realizing the fact that God has called him to really the fullness of truth to be a Catholic. And the fullness of the sacraments. And what we had said right before the break is that there are a number of you who have stopped going to church, maybe have left the church, and God has allowed you to call in because he's calling you home to the Catholic Church. He is calling you to the fullness of the truth. And it's so important that people go on this journey that you went to of seeking the truth. And, you know, Jesus is pretty clear saying through the Holy Spirit that it is the truth that Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is a provider of that truth, and the truth will set us free. And your thoughts on that?
Exactly. I mean, for me, I was just hungry for more. And so after my first confession and I felt the disclosure that I mentioned, I was actually on a Facebook fast, but I broke the Facebook fast because I just wanted to post how I felt. And I just posted, tonight I had a two-hour appointment with my confessor and priest, and no stone was unturned. I mean, every stone. I mean, and I just kind of shared my experience, and then just things just kind of took off on Facebook. Like, what are you joking? Because the funniest thing is this all happened on April 1st, April Fool's Day. So they thought I was joking with them. You know, just the questions that people were asking me. A lot of my, you know, evangelical pastor friends, they were asking me questions. I'm like, I don't know the answer to this stuff. I just know this is what I'm supposed to do. And so I told my wife, I said, Yvonne, I think I need to go and get a master's in theology. She's like, there's something called Google. It's cheaper. And I'm like, well, if I get a free scholarship to go to get a master's degree, would you let me? She's like, as if that's going to happen. And I'm still working with the International House of Prayer, working with another ministry as well called The Call that's led by Lou Engle. They do these big stadium prayer meetings. One was just in L.A. In the Coliseum in April. And I'm working with them. I'm like, you guys aren't going to fire me since I'm a Catholic now. They're like, no. We love the body of Christ. So I got an offer at Franciscan University to go study there. And then within months, they hired me to be their director of marketing and media. And so it was from that platform, I'm like, Lord, you were really true to your word that you would give me an opportunity to do more than I previously did, because they primarily wanted me to help grow the Steubenville Youth Conferences 25% in 5 years. And so we were, with my team, we were able to grow Steubenville Youth Conferences 25% in 4 years, up to over,
praise the Lord,
to over 50,000 Catholic teenagers. And of course, you know, a Steubenville Youth Conference is a very good pre-evangelization event to expose Catholics. And of course, the new evangelization is to evangelize / re-evangelize poorly catechized, sacramentalized Catholics.
Exactly.
Great opportunity. Did that for 4 years. But living in the city of Steubenville, small town, 18,000, I kind of felt I was in a bubble. And I yearned and I missed my fellowship with some of my evangelical friends and was wanting to do more opportunities ecumenically. So the Lord called me and my wife to relaunch our nonprofit called Major Change. And we did that 2 years ago. And step of faith, because, you know, leaving the university, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what's next? And the Lord's just calling us all out on the water. So don't rob people or God later in your life from sins of omission. When he tells you to do something, just don't do it. The Lord will honor his word. And so we've been doing some ecumenical events, and the beauty of seeing, as I was an evangelical minister, learning so much from the Catholic mystics. I have so many evangelical friends that are reading the Catholic mystics, and their prayer life is blossoming and growing. And vice versa, there's so many things that we as Catholics, I mean, we're trying to figure out the new evangelization, but evangelicals have almost perfected pre-evangelization. And there's so much that we can learn from them, and there's so much that they can learn from us. And like, isn't John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, that we all may become one?
Amen.
You know, he's not coming back for a harem. He's coming back for one bride. And we love Christ, and we want to pursue him. And so this is kind of where we're at right now. And the Lord recently relocated us to Los Angeles. So we just moved from Steubenville to L.A. last month. And
and I saw you last month when you first came here.
Yeah,
what
a
blessing.
Yeah, so we're excited for what the Lord is doing in Southern Cal.
So how can people work with you? How can you have a website and email and so forth to tell our audience?
So our website is majorchange.org, and my email address is keith@majorchange.org.
And so how could they get involved in helping you?
There's a lot of stuff on the website. Right now we're planning the second year in a row, we're doing an ecumenical event with the International House of Prayer. They have a young adult conference called One Thing, December 28th, 31st. And 20,000 young adults attend that. So Matt Maher will be there leading worship with Audrey Assad, some evangelical leaders, Bill Johnson, who's the pastor of Bethel in Redding, California. An evangelist called Todd White will be there. There's a lot of priests coming, some CFRs. If you're a young adult, or even if you're young at heart and you want to be with 20,000 others as you bring in the new year, I invite you to go on our website, check out the information about One Thing 2016. We're going to be providing a Catholic track there. And
where's it located?
It's going to be in Kansas City.
Kansas City, okay.
Kansas City.
Awesome. And what about locally in terms of events they may go to? Anything that you'd recommend?
Being that I just got my feet on the ground here like a month
started.
Ago, it's just there's so much happening here. You know, I know there's an event in Pomona in February that I would maybe encourage people to go to with that's going to be, again, it's ecumenical, but I think it's things that we can learn a lot from one another. And it's going to be with Randy Clark, Bill Johnson, and we're just going to have a Catholic presence there as well.
What do you think that they can learn from us? If you could summarize that, now I'd like you to say, what is it that we can learn from them?
Okay, what evangelicals can learn from us is, being an evangelical minister myself, I mean, we have nothing close to John Paul II's theology of the body. That is a gift to the church, entire church, to the evangelicals, to the Methodists, to the Presbyterians, to the Baptists. That, what John Paul II put, you know, Polish Pope, that is just crucial for today's society. Of course, our mystics, our saints, you know, reading their lives. I mean, these are people that passed the test, you know, and I strongly was provoked by their lives. I learned so much from them. I mean, as well as, you know, I've purchased actually the Catholic Catechism for several of my evangelical pastor friends. And, you know, it's a thick book. And if you read that alongside with the Bible, I mean, it's so loaded with scripture. You know, instead of going to an evangelical church page, I mean, website, and say, this is what we believe, and it's basically the Apostles' Creed, well, there's even so much more than that. And I've had evangelical pastor friends of mine read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and they're like, Keith, I agree with like 97% of this. Can I cut and paste it and put it on my churches, what we believe? I'm like, yeah, because it's the church. Don't think that we're separated.
Amen.
This was for the church. And so there's so much that we have to offer evangelicals and Baptists and the other denominations, but
and I'm sure you would agree too that if they prayerfully look at the sacraments too, right? So there are certainly a lot of things, but how about the other way in terms of what we can learn from them?
I think you know the latest stats about every one person that comes into the Catholic Church, how many are, or one coming in the front door, how many are coming out the back door?
Mm-hmm.
You know that number?
Well, you know, I've heard different numbers, but let's just say that that the second largest congregation is ex-Catholics.
True.
You know.
So I heard Bishop Robert Baring speak recently, and he gave the stat for each one person coming into the Catholic Church, six are leaving the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Predominantly a lot of young adults. So what can we as Catholics learn from thriving Christian young adult
Amen.
Groups? And,
Amen.
You know, of course, being a Catholic and here being a part of Steubenville conferences and kind of being in a Catholic bubble, I mean, no one's heard of Passion conferences. Well, Passion brings in 100,000 young adults every year. That's a huge conference. And they do a lot of social justice. I mean, they had this huge campaign, the End It movement, that was targeting human trafficking and stuff. And of course, we sing 95% of their songs in our Catholic conferences.
Amen.
But funny that we don't invite the original artists to sing them. You know, why not just let it come from the horse's mouth? Like, hey, you wrote that song. We love it. Why don't you come to our conference and sing? Well, they won't come. That's not the truth. They would come, and they'd be happy to come. Now, of course, the we can maybe have part two of this later.
We can have part two later, but there are a lot we can learn from each other.
Yeah.
We've been so blessed to have Keith Major on our show. Keith, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Heavenly Father, we are one body, and we know that you want us to be one body. We ask a special blessing upon all Christians everywhere, Lord God. Upon us as Catholics, that we continue to be evangelical and to evangelize all of our brothers and sisters about the fullness of our faith. Bless us and fill us with your love and your Holy Spirit through the power of your love, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In Jesus' name we pray, and I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio. For